welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is a beautiful Sunday, February the 22nd, 2015, and I am so grateful you chose to be with me as we take a look at three wonderful questions that were sent to me by some very thoughtful and kind people. If you ever want to send a question, something that's on your pee picker, boy, that's a 1950s thing. I am so sorry. You know, the older I get, the more I see myself like going into this deal of being a 1950s guy, I'm revealing it. And forgive me. It's like snorting in your ear. Please, please forgive me. Anyway, if you ever have a question, something you would like me to work on, answer for you, give you another slant, another point of view, at the website at aspire.org, you see the top there, you will see contact. Just click on that and send me an email. And if you don't want me to use your name or where you live or any of that, that's fine. Just let me know what's on your mind. Serving you is more important than anything to me, more than you might ever imagine. So I'd be honored to do so. I really would. I want to thank my sponsors once again who make this radio program possible. Without their loving donations, without their kindness, their compassion, this would not be happening. It is only through the touch of love that they feel on the inside for all of humanity that makes all of this possible. So I hope to goodness that you understand that and how beautiful this is. Let's get to the first question by Rachel. Rachel does not tell me where she lives. Why does God allow for injustice to occur on the earth? I have been trying to read the Bible to understand why things happen the way they do. Rachel. Rachel, if you read the Bible to try to understand why things are the way they are, you're going to become schizophrenic. You're going to become neurotic. That's what Christians are, schizophrenic and neurotic. Most of the players in the NFL, I would say, are probably Christian, wouldn't you? I mean, you know, you're always seeing them point to God and all that other, you know, point up. And I find the schizophrenia very interesting because they hit each other, Rachel, as hard as they can. Really hard. Hard enough to kill most of us and really maim and injure each other. And the thing that I find most interesting is after they've laid some guy out and almost killed him, and he's laying there on the ground unconscious, doesn't even know where he is, they all gather around little circles and do their little prayer thing, praying to God that he's okay. Don't you find that rather schizophrenic, a bit neurotic? Crazy, nutso. Then they, after they cart the poor guy off, they strap on their helmets and just do it again and again and again and again. Don't you find that nuts? Well, if you don't, then you're nuts. You see, why does God allow for injustice and all of that? It isn't God. It's me and thee. It's you and I that do all of this. We have some kind of mechanism inside of our humanity, our mind, that makes us look lily white when we're doing something that's very dark, or we have a reason or some kind of rationale for the things that we think, say, and do. And we make it really ugly. So it isn't God doing all of this. And you read the Bible, you're going to find it one part it says, you know, it's all about love. And the second part, it's all about hate. I mean, I want you to think about this, Rachel. God creates the earth and he's pooped. He's tired after 7 days. It's God. Why should he be tired? And then in the next breath after creating man, the first thing man is lonely. He's inferior. Then God makes a woman out of man's ribs. She's not even an original idea, by the way, Rachel. And the next thing you know, she's taking him into the Garden of Eden and screwing with him there. Now, you know, this is all metaphor. You have to understand this isn't the way it happened in the physical. You have to truly understand. If you're not intelligent enough to understand that, then my answers will never be helpful to you. These are all metaphors. These are all trying to show you through story what is going on within us. It has nothing to do with the creation of the earth and all of that, even though it says so. The language that they had at the time was much smaller than our own. And they had the same kind of questions we have, but their language wouldn't support the questions and the thoughts they had about any given thing. So you start to understand the bigger picture here and the limitations of it all. Allegory, parables, metaphors, they're all there to share one thing. And that is, the only justice there is in life is love. We all answer to love. And how we answer to that love through the commonality of our thoughts, our beliefs, our theories, our emotions is what rips us apart in this world and in this life, tears us to shreds. So we don't really understand the nature of ourselves or the nature of our life. We don't understand what is justice. You're looking for the bad guys who hurt people, like the football players hurting each other. You're looking for some kind of justice there. Some people say you get what you sow. Really? I've seen a lot of people sow a lot of crap, and reap a lot of wonderful things in this world. I've seen it. Things that most of us would want in our life. But one night, as Jesus said in his really beautiful parable about the rich man, one night your soul will be required of you. There will be an issue that money and power and prestige cannot answer. And what will we do then? What will we do then? You see, every time you gain vengeance, every time you gain some kind of what you would call good, derived out of somebody else's suffering, whether you think it's deserved or not, then becomes a part of your and my karma. And hence, we suffer grievously from that. We don't know that. We don't understand it. We don't get it because we don't want to get it. Rachel, stop trying to find answers in a book written many thousands of years ago in a language you don't understand, in and of a culture that is so foreign to us that we would never be able to accept its perimeters. You have to find yourself. Don't be looking for answers. Answers to questions that don't exist. You and I can come up with every question in the book about any given thing in our life and make it appear to be and sound like these are serious and important questions. But they're not, and they don't matter, and it doesn't matter. What matters is my effort and your effort to achieve love. Not emotional love, not human love, but authentic love. And should you be willing to do that and go on an authentic spiritual practice in an authentic journey to love, much will happen. Much will change your life. You will start to realize there is more to all of this than you can ever think and imagine. There's more to this than right and wrong and good and bad and justice. These are things that cloud the mind and ruffle our feathers and make us believe that this is right and that is wrong. If you really look at God, you know, through the eyes of justice, he's a screw up, a true screw up. He doesn't do anything right. Anything he's ever made has turned sour. And if you knew God, you know, as a man, and you met him and you saw the mess he made, you'd probably want to ask, what the hell were you thinking? You don't give man free will. You can't do that. And if man is the image and likeness of you, what kind of nerd are you? What kind of retard are you? Are you schizophrenic? Are you a sociopath? We're all sociopaths, all of us. You couldn't buy it. Religion is out there to force you into buying it through intimidation and fear. It doesn't like original thinking. It can't handle it. Everybody's so afraid. Religion is run basically by those who live in a profound sense of fear. And if you look around in the church, you'll probably find that more women are there than men because they've killed off their men and they're older and yada, da, yada, da, yada, da. And you start to realize, what the hell am I doing? Trying to be in this? Really? Where's the authentic self? Where's the Atma of it all, the beauty of it all? Rachel, you're going to have to step out of the box. And I don't know if you're the type of person, I don't know you, that can step out of the box, that can really do something like I'm talking about. But if you do, if you are, then drop the books. Go into your heart. Start to meditate. Find out what it is to find the core of yourself. The reality of you. That's where it's at. If you can do that, which you can, much will happen. Please forgive me. Namaste. I could feel her energy going, I don't understand that. Oh, God, geez, I didn't know he was like that. Oh, my God. I can just hear it. Oh, geez, oh, no. Everybody thinks they have the answer, you know? And what they don't realize is if you've got questions, then you have no answers, because any answer you and I might have is foolish, because there are no questions to this lifetime. We want to behave. We want to find out, how do you get what you want? What kind of nickel do I put in that spiritual gumball machine to get what I want? And that's the way most people think. And it's not like that. It doesn't work like that. It never has, it never will, and yet we insist it does, and here we go. Sean asked this question, and again, he does not tell me where he lives. Where does it all end, Greg? The bills, the taxes, the pressure, the world, the wars, the hate. Is there a way to get over all of this? Will it get better? Or are we doomed? Sean. Sean, I was speaking to a woman the other day. This was so funny. I came out of my little house, and across the street, the house across the street had been sold. And this woman, who is the mother of the two people that bought the house, the daughter and the son-in-law, and she walks over to me and she starts asking me questions about the neighborhood. And how do you feel about, you know, coming out of the cul-de-sac and getting on the freeway? Is it difficult? And these houses are kind of on a hill, and do they, you know, fall apart? You know, are they stable and all of this other stuff? And she says, you know, the traffic has been horrible, just horrible. You see all these cars. How do you get out of this cul-de-sac and get on Highway 1 and go anywhere? It's just awful. And then in the next breath, she said, you know, I have 6 grandchildren, and I'm afraid that when they learn to drive, that they're not going to be able to negotiate all of it. And I'm thinking, you got 6? And I looked at her and I said, madam, you don't like the traffic, you don't like the congestion, and you've got 6 grandchildren, and they're going to be joining that herd of people on the freeway coming down. And she looked at me like, whoa, you know, like I just threw cold water on her. And I said, more people on the planet, everybody's got to have their babies, right? Babies, babies, babies. And the more babies we have, the more traffic we eventually have. I said, I want you to consider the idea. You're worried about the traffic. When you're sitting there and all those cars are going down, just think, that's all due to probably irresponsible sexual intercourse that has caused all these things to happen. Her eyes went glazed. I said, just a thought for you. She said, thank you for talking to me, and walked away. Where does it all end? You got to ask, when does the mischief end in us? We keep thinking that we should have more babies, and we need more of this and more of that to support this and that. where's it all going to come from? The human mind is very soft and very much filled with delusion and illusion. We love the soft fetters, as Buddha put it, and they undermine us the most. You know what the soft fetters are, the things that keep us clinging to our emotions, like, you know, comfort food and having people around us that we think love us to support us in our mischief. Oh, it's okay to have a baby. Go on ahead. We'll help raise the child for you. We never think about the bigger picture. We never think about it's more than being a tree hugger. And if you look at the statistics on the internet, you will see that we're going to be at a place very, very soon where the earth obviously is way, way over and can't support all the people that are on earth. Where does it all end? You ask me, I ask you. It'll end with you. It'll end with me. It'll end when we stop doing the stuff we need to do emotionally in order to pleasure and maintain our emotional nature. When you are done, Sean, with the idea of maintaining your emotional nature, when you're done servicing that little puppy through the maintenance of gratification, whatever it may be for you, and it'll all look normal because you'll say, well, everybody's doing it. This is the pedestrian mentality. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Well, you know, what did my mother say? Well, if everybody jumped off a cliff, would you? Maybe more of us should jump off cliffs. Lower the population. We're imploding upon ourselves. Jacques Cousteau talked about this. I have talked about it many times when he said that an organism that overpopulates implodes upon itself. And when it does, look what happens. There's not enough food. There's not enough space. There's not enough air. The water is fried. The fish in the sea, oh, contaminated. We're careless. We're egocentric. We're greedy. It ends with me. It ends with you. And you've got to see the bigger picture. If you don't, which most people don't want to see, then nothing can end. And it'll just keep going and going and going. We're always going to have wars and rumors of wars in this world because there are always the greedy. There's always the ones who just simply enjoy the greed. And the greed kind of pays out for them. They have the means and the influence to do many ugly things with their life, and they don't hesitate in doing it. What was it that Gandhi said? We have to be the change we wish to see in the world. I totally agree with that. We have to be the change we want to see in the world. What kind of change do you want to see in this world? Really, what kind of change? You want your world the way you want it, Sean, and then everyone else to change? That's what most people do. Oh, I don't need to change. It's other people that need to change. We all need to change. All of us. But we're not willing to do that because we believe we're free and can be indulgent to the level we want to be indulgent in. And, of course, how do you fight that? How do you change that? I'm not going to change human nature. Only when a person can enter into an authentic spiritual practice does anything change. Because then you are privy to the bigger picture and you can see exactly what's going on, not what you imagine is going on, so you and I can sustain our mischief. We start to see what it's really all about and we go for that. So it's a level of maturity, dear one. It's not a level of who wants this and who gets that. It's a level of maturity. And if I become mature inside, I realize there are certain things I'm going to have to sacrifice in order to be a part of this earthly experience in a, shall we say, more loving way. And how to do that is I can't depend upon other people to love me and make me happy. I have to find peace within me, a peace that goes beyond the instincts of my DNA and my genetics, a peace that passes all human understanding, as Jesus talked about. But so few people want that. So few people think of that. What? Don't have a family? Be alone in this world? It is the way, and it has to happen. I have friends who have way too much money, and they just live to support their families, you know, and give them whatever they want. Their kids never aspire to do, never aspire to do anything other than just have the life they believe they should have, which is about aggrandizement of their ego. It's really fascinating to me. Very pedestrian, not very healthy, not good for the world, but hey, who's looking? Nobody knows. Sean, wake up. Wake up. Please forgive me. Namaste. It is interesting, isn't it, how we are? The last thing on our mind, the very last thing, is the state of our inner being. While we run around, run amok, the last thing we care about is the state of our inner being, and that's the answer to everything. Last question comes from Raymond. He does not tell me where he lives either. Greg, what is a spiritual practice, as you put it? I don't understand. Raymond. Spiritual practice. You enter into it through humility. It is only driven by humility. It is not driven by hate or fear like religion is. It is not driven by right and wrong, good and bad, like our outer world is run. It is achieved through compassion, meditation, and love. But because there's so much mischief in us, because we live mischievous lives, and we suffer grievously, and there is nothing I can do to take away your mischievousness. There's nothing I can do to help you understand it either. You know what you're doing. You know how you're doing it. You know the way you live. You understand it. You do. All of us do. We know when we're being mischievous, when we think we have the right to hate, or that we fall into our fears, or we make plans based in fear and or hate, and start rationalizing our evil this way and making it appear to be that we are doing what's right and good for whomever. And we just keep that going. We know what we're doing. We're not stupid. We may not know the laws of spirituality, the law of karma, and how it all works. And that's okay. But we have no regard for anything other than our hapless desires to live pedestrian lives based on the hope of being gratified. That's all we know. So as long as we live in this fashion, in this way, we miss. And we miss the way we live, and we miss the meaning of our life. And in the end, it won't matter what you have, because the only thing that matters is what you can take with you through death. That is the criteria of an authentic spiritual practice, to be able to leave this life knowing what you can take with you through death. And there's only one thing. It is the love that is achieved in this life, the selflessness, the unparalleled generosity, unconscionable generosity. And most people are so afraid of that. I'll never forget this woman on radio when I used to open it up for questions, saying, well, I'm generous to the point of not giving away the farm. Really? I don't know what giving away the farm means. I really don't. But if I had to give away everything I have for the sake of having the moment of awakening, I would do it. I have done it in certain ways. So you start to see the way of your life a little bit, Raymond. We go into mischief a great deal because we want what we want the way we want it, and we never question that, and we think it's perfectly fine to do what we do as we do it, because that's the way it should be. That's the way we think. But as you go on a little further in your life, you're going to find that there are no answers to the questions of our life based on the mischief we have performed. And a spiritual practice is not a set of rules that you have to do in order to change things. A spiritual practice is just simply doing one thing, following the way of the heart. Something that most people don't care about. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I can help you with, go to the top of the page at the website at aspire.org. You will see contact. Just click on it. Send it to me. If you're not a sponsor, I will send you an MP3 of the radio program that I've done answering your question. I'm out of here. Have a wonderful weekend. A wonderful weekend. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste.